Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It's time to take your body care routine to the next level. Introducing Osea's bestseller body care set, the perfect companion for your summer travels. This four-piece kit transforms dry skin to silky, soft, and glowing. It features travel sizes of Osea's best-selling Undaria Algae Body Oil and Body Butter, clinically proven to improve skin elasticity, along with their anti-aging body balm and Salts of the Earth body scrub. And to top it off, it's packed in a vegan leather bag, making it a must-have for all your summer adventures. Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat yourself to glowing, healthy skin this summer with clean, vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Right now, you can get the best sellers body care set valued at $78 for 33% off. Use code SUMMER to save an additional 10%. That's an additional 10% off at oceamalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Find more great shows or join the team at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello people, how are you doing? Thank you for downloading the Hot Lap podcast once again. It's official, after the whole upheaval of moving to like a new server and thing, well, whatever you say, fucking network, I'm not sure what terms I should be using. But since moving over, the last episode was the most downloaded episode of the Hot Lap podcast, so thank you very much. That means that I've successfully collected all of you lost little lambs up that I just fucked off and left in the ether, hoping you'd follow my social media breadcrumbs to the right link. And I've also brought new people on board. So, yeah, network success, I suppose. It's been a week since I spoke to you. I haven't done anything else really particularly new to keep you up to speed with. My tattoo's healed pretty well. I've got some new glasses. That's pretty much it in Leland. That's the height of fucking excitement, which is lucky enough that we have Formula One to fall back on when my life is fucking boring, isn't it? But saying that, there's not a lot to talk about today. There's some little bits. I mean, it was almost something and nothing. Williams have said that they believe the talent level of George Russell is on par with Lewis Hamilton, where in the early stages of his career. And I know what you're going to say. I know the Hamilton guy's going to, yeah, but he nearly won a championship in his first year, and he won it in his second year. But yeah, that's fine. But he also had a fucking good car, didn't he? I think George Russell very well could do something similar if he had like a Mercedes or a McLaren level McLaren of that era McLaren that Lewis was doing all the business in. I know it's not a huge thing to talk about, but I just think it's another good thing for George Russell, because he really is at that point in his career, in my eyes, where a change needs to happen, because he's just being wasted at the moment. And I can't help think of Jenson Button in this situation, because I think Jenson Button had the match on talent for just about anybody when he came into Formula One. And after he'd been there for a couple of years, and you went through the Renault and Benetton debacle when he got himself into BAR, and the BAR was making like the good mid-grid car. I mean, realistically, when you think back to that time, it was probably on par with where McLaren was, what McLaren is right now, maybe slightly ahead of where the McLaren is right now. But at the end of the day, he was usually only able to just like out qualify the car and then fall backwards. Now, I just worry about George Russell's talent being wasted in a similar situation, because I still believe that Jenson Button won a championship in the twilight of his career and not the pinnacle of it. And I would hate to see something like that happen to George. Jos Verstappen has said he fears another year of Mercedes dominance. And I thought I'd bring this up because it just, I think two things it has here. One, he's pointing out the fact that Red Bull started so well and it's looking a little bit more shaky for them. But also, if he's thinking that and he's publicly saying this, then you've got to think, like, obviously him and his son are having conversations like this. And they will already be thinking about next year and where Max could be and what his best chances of success are. And I wonder whether this is going to be the thing that shoves Max somewhere else. I don't know where he'd go. I mean, I think pretty much any team would want Max Verstappen. Even like Ferrari, I think they would get rid of either of their drivers. They'd do Kimi Raikkonen to them and pay them for going and doing whatever they wanted to do if the opportunity of getting Max Verstappen in that car was there. I think Max would be Mercedes' first choice for replacing Lewis Hamilton should he become available and should Lewis Hamilton decide to retire. Given the age of Lewis Hamilton as well, I'm not completely convinced that Mercedes wouldn't risk upsetting the apple cart and bringing Max in as Lewis's teammate if they had the opportunity of snapping him up. Again, these things, going back to what we just talked about, not great for George Russell. But Red Bull do seem to be, they seem to be such a nearly team at the minute. They always seem to promise. They promise to sort of deliver and really challenge. And then year after year after year now, we've seen since the sort of fall of the blown diffuser Red Bull, we're constantly seeing them just not quite get it together when they need to get it together. And that's when you lose people like Max Verstappen, because he knows that he's probably approaching the prime of what will be his career now. So I just can't see him playing around. I can't see him playing around with Red Bull for yet another season if they don't challenge Mercedes all the way through this championship. Especially given the bendy wing debacle as well. Yeah, the FIA are bringing new regulations in to stop what they think teams are doing. They say there's two or three teams out there which they believe are usurping the rigidity tests for the rear wings in clever ways. I don't know how they're doing it, but we remember Wingate in with the Red Bull in Belgium, wasn't it? Where I think Vettel took Jenson Button out, actually, didn't he? He pulled out from the back of Jenson Button to try and overtake him, and there was such an aero shift, you saw half the front wing bend, and he basically speared into the side of Button. As you can imagine, I was over the fucking moon about it all. So this is something that's interesting, because with Red Bull, one of the teams which is getting the finger pointed at them for this bendy rear wing, if that's something there, I mean, Lewis Hamilton believed that it was worth 0.3 seconds per lap around Catalunya. Now, Red Bull have contested this and saying that he's got it wrong because they were running both low and high downforce setups, and that's where the difference in time went. But I'm not sure I buy that. But if this is another one of the things, you know, it's like Red Bull have had to try and pull as many tricks out of the bag to get on par with Mercedes. We heard last year going into this season that they were fast tracking aero ideas to try and claw back time for this year. You know, it's Red Bull were invested this year to desperately try and overturn Mercedes. If they're losing time because they're essentially taking grey areas and they're bending rules here and there, you know, man, it's not looking good for the Red Bull Championship, is it? I don't think we're not going to get a true read of what's going on, because obviously we've got Monaco coming up next. Everyone knows, like, Monaco's Monaco. It's a strange race. We'll talk more about Monaco, my thoughts on Monaco at the end. So I've just got this horrible feeling that we are now going to see the sort of resurgence of Mercedes, and it wasn't so much the fight back of Red Bull, but it was just Mercedes stumbling a little bit. They'll right themselves, and Lewis is just going to rip off with this world championship. I'm really sad saying that. I'm really, really sad because, like I said, just before last weekend, before the race, when we saw what unfolded, like I said to you in the last podcast, I remember saying to my dad, I said, look, like, if this could be, I said, like, it's early to say it yet, but if this carries on the way it's half looking, we could be in for one of the best world championships we've ever seen in Formula One history. But I just don't think it's going to happen. And a little bit of me wonders as well whether half the battle of that is Max Verstappen. Because this has always been the thing. We've never seen him with the car capable of challenging Lewis, really. We've seen him where they've given him the car now and again. And don't get me wrong, like, Max Verstappen is a spectacular driver. But you do wonder that if he gets a car similar to Lewis's, is that when we suddenly realise just how good Lewis Hamilton is, and maybe that there's extra chinks in the Verstappen armour that we hadn't seen? Who knows? I'm not sure, but it's going to be interesting finding out. Unfortunately, I think the interesting part about finding out what's going on with where the cars are and what the difference is between Lewis and Verstappen, that might be interesting, but I don't believe it's going to give us the interesting season we're after. excuse me. Austria. Yeah, I read this as Australia at first, and I thought, fucking great, but it's not Australia, is it? It's Austria is going to hold a back-to-back race again, because Turkey is off the cards. Bye-bye, Turkey. So, yeah, Rhonestown has upset the Turkish Grand Prix. We could kind of see this happening. I believe a few other sporting events. Is there a big football match that's been called off in Turkey? I'm not sure. But, I'm surprised because, like, Formula One seems to be a bit more robust as far as getting their shit together of, you know, bubbles and getting the teams just in the circuit and not really risking anything going in or out. But yeah, it's Turkey's off the cards. I find going to Austria twice odd. I'm not sure why that was the first idea, but, well, I mean, we're there. I wasn't a fan of the back-to-back races at the same circuits last year. I thought it got very old very quickly. Hopefully, if we have to do this, Austria, maybe the gods will shine down on us and give us rain on one race, and then, or rain on both races, because, you know, a wet race is a good race. I'd take two wet races, but I'd rather take one wet race and one dry race if we can't have two wet ones. Be interesting to know what you guys think about Austria. I like the circuit. I was supposed to go. It was the last Grand Prix I had tickets for before the world burst into fucking flames. So yeah, just it's just disappointing, I think, sometimes. You know, it's, if it's a dry race, and especially if one team just fucking rips it, you're going to watch the same race twice. And that, I mean, maybe the mid-grid can get us through that, but I don't know. It's not ideal going to the same circuit twice. And I can't help but think there's plenty of circuits on the Formula One calendar that have multiple layouts. Not France, but even though it does have like 130 different layouts. But I feel we could have done it. I still wish that there was some way we could have run the... I know the reasons. Don't fucking name me because of safety. Don't fucking get on me. But it's a shame that we can't do the whole running in reverse. You know, it's the old PlayStation 1 trick, wasn't it? When you had a video game with like six circuits in it, but they'd say, yeah, there's 12 circuits. We just reversed them. So that would have been better in my eyes, but obviously impossible because of runoffs and gravel traps and like cars would be going into walls instead of tires. And that's not ideal. Just like to finish up with now, pretty much, because there just isn't a lot to talk about today. I mean, I left recording this podcast. I still haven't had my tea. After I've recorded this, I'm going to be calling a pizza because it's late over here. I was dragged it out to try and see what this McLaren announcement was. You know, it was really hyped, big hype. I don't know whether you guys feel a little bit let down by it. I thought the launch video was interesting because it was just like the Lando show, wasn't it? I know when you go to pictures on the McLaren website, there's photographs of Daniel Ricciardo all kitted up as well. But I just found it very strange that it was just Lando that was in the video. I don't think it means anything. I don't think it's like a lack of faith in Ricciardo. It was just something I noticed. So because I noticed, I thought it was worth mentioning it. It's a gorgeous car. I don't want to say... I don't want to just turn around and say, oh, it's the nicest looking Formula One car of all times, because that would be a bit reactionary. But do you know what? I'm sat here looking at a fucking very, very sexy high def image of this car, and I'm struggling to think of a car that I think looks better than it. I mean, obviously, my favorite car livery of all time is the Braun, just because that whole situation was mad. So I will forever be tinted with nostalgia when it comes to that car. What Rothmans Williams Renault was one of my favorites, because it was actually Jacques Villeneuve in a Williams Renault. It was the first Formula One car I ever saw on circuit. I saw it at Cop's Corner. I was on the inside of the track, and I remember seeing him come out with the question mark on the side, because it was when they couldn't run tobacco advertising in certain countries. That's got a special place for me. But that blue, man, like that, like almost gunmetal blue on that. It's not as bright as I would have thought it would be. But I love it. But this is one of the problems. I was then really disappointed that it was it's just a one-off livery for Monaco. It's going to look great on track, but like, let's fucking sort this out, McLaren. Golf, give McLaren extra money. McLaren, take the money off Golf. Let's just run this livery for EVs. You know, it makes sense. It's fucking gorgeous. I mean, the McLaren was already, I believe, the best looking car on the grid. It's, you know, it's can you imagine having a car that was already the best looking car on the grid, and then all of a sudden you change the livery and it's better? That even if your old car, which was the best looking car on the grid, was still on the track, you'd still have the best looking car with your new livery. There's sense in there somewhere. But yeah, I'm mega impressed with the I thought it was going to be a big title sponsor, I must admit. I wondered whether something like it was going to be like one of the tech giants that got involved. You know, I've often wondered whether Tesla would want to get involved in Formula One, not as a team. Obviously, the you would think if Tesla was going to go anywhere, it would be Formula E. But given the use on battery and energy recovery in Formula One, I did think that there was an issue that you could have some sort of tie up there, and it would probably do Tesla quite good to be part of Formula One. I think it'd do Formula One very good to have something like that connected to it. I also wondered about Apple, whether something like a company like Apple or Microsoft or Google or Amazon would go in. So, you know, you'd have like the Amazon, McLaren, Mercedes or something like that. The other thing I wondered about was whether it was going to be a more closely linked partnership with Mercedes, given that I still believe that a Mercedes as a manufacturer won't be on the grid next year. I think that team will be on the grid, but I think it'll be called Wolf Grand Prix. So I wondered whether Mercedes was going to position itself to get back on board with McLaren as like its lead supplied like third party team, just for history's value. They could have paint all silver again, everyone would have gone fucking mental, wouldn't they? But it would be like orange and silver. In fact, it wouldn't look a million miles away from what the Gulf looks like, to be honest, but obviously the blue would have been silver and black. So that's kind of it. I'll just have a little look at what you guys have been saying to me, because I threw it up late for questions. I should have been more on the ball this weekend, but I'll let you into a secret. I was so hungover today. Like, I tried to read Formula One articles, like just the ones I brought up here, and I couldn't even focus on the page. I felt awful, absolutely awful. I think there's a little croak to my voice as well. I always quite like recording when I've got a bit of a croak to my voice. I think it sounds better, sounds softer. Like I'm serenading your child ears. Ooh, don't serenade child ears. A quick shout out to Roman Grosjean before we go anywhere. He didn't smash it. He semi-smashed it. He got pole in the Indy 500 and then came second. Said that it caught him off a little bit, like not pushing all the way. Like, I think his experience of Formula One and Indy maybe got a bit muggled up somewhere. But what a performance, man. You know, Romain Grosjean, another one of like Formula One's enigmas, isn't he? I kind of feel, and I know I've ripped Romain a lot over the years on various podcasts and things, and but I do, I believe he's better than he got to show. You know, it's he looked every bit like the full package coming into Formula One when you looked at his junior career and stuff like that. And then it just never seemed to work out for him. He did the whole thing. He had sports psychologists. He had driver coaching. And then he went through that phase of he was either blisteringly fast and would crash or slow. And he never seemed to get the balance, did he? Never seemed to get the media like that balance there. But yet again, and like I think back to Fernando Alonso's first go at Indy, because that's the representative one. You know, it's there was the other attempts were sort of there was extenuating circumstances in that wasn't necessarily 100% Fernando's fault. I mean, let's face it. When he drove for the McLaren, I can't remember, was it the last year where they didn't have a steering wheel for him? That's not fucking ideal, is it? No, that's fucking stupid, is what it is. But that first year when he came in, and it was an Andretti painted as a McLaren, was it? And obviously he had all the backing from Andretti to really get him into race shape, ready for that like challenge. He nearly won it. You know, he could if he'd have gone, if he'd have carried on, I think he'd have at least been on the podium come the end of that race. But again, like look at Sato as well. There's something about ex Formula One drivers just being able to rip Indy that Yeah, it's odd. I'm not even sure why. It's quite remarkable, really. I mean, you know, I'm not taking shots at Indy here, but it's like when you get snooker players going into pool tournaments, isn't it? And just in general, snooker players are fucking amazing pool players because it's just a bit easier. And it does make me wonder whether IndyCar is just a bit easier. But after that horrific crash Romain Grosjean had, what a good story this is. You know, third race into IndyCar, he's had a podium. Who knows? Maybe there's an IndyCar World Championship in it for him somewhere down the line. I certainly fucking hope so. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when he tests the Mercedes. Wouldn't it be crazy if, like, he was 2 seconds a lap faster than Bottas's times? Wouldn't it be cracks if he was just, his race pace just ruined the number two and he was on par with Lewis Hamilton? Could happen. Could happen. Anyway, it's been a bit of a short podcast today, just simply because there hasn't been... Oh, sorry. Do you know what? I was going to end it then. I can't... We're not ending it, are we? Because it's Monaco next week. Fuck me. Monaco. I fucking hate Monaco. It's a shit race. It's a bad race. And I know, again, I know what you're fucking doing. A couple of you are doing it right now. You go, maybe the Formula E. Yeah, the Formula E cars lap around about the same sort of pace as 1960s Formula One cars. Yeah? These fucking road tires, it's not the same thing. Formula E, if you enjoy it, I'm fucking happy for you. But Formula E will never be considered the pinnacle of motorsport. Sorry, it's just not going to happen. It's because of this need to be road relevant and stuff. I fucking hate road relevancy in motor racing. Road cars should be relevant to Formula One cars in the way that they steal the ideas. I don't want racing cars like running the same tires that I can go and buy. I don't want that. I want everything on a Formula One car to be an experiment week after week. Just a 200 mile an hour mobile lab is what I want from Formula One. I've tried Formula E. I really have, and it's fucking dead to me. But they did a good job around Monaco to rein it back in, because I'm not going to lie, the train left the tracks there. It's just not... Who knows what it'll be like next year. Maybe next year in the regulations will drag it back in. But the fact that if we talk about doing sprint races on the Saturday and stuff like that, and it's already been muted that... Monaco would be its own thing and we wouldn't do it like that, and I can accept that. It makes fucking sense not doing it. But in my eyes, if you're going to run Monaco like that, I think we should do it as an off championship. Just like wouldn't this be fun? I don't know how you'd work it with fuel, but wouldn't it be fun if Monaco was like a non-championship race, came with its own like cool trophy and stuff like that, make it longer? Not the circuit, the distance you have to travel. Like, make it like a Grand Prix distance and a half, just to make it a bit more daunting. Like the Indy 500 tends to like sound daunting, and the Le Mans 24 hours. You know, these circuits. I'm not suggesting that Formula One drivers do 24 hours in a Formula One car. If you thought that's what I was trying to say to you, stop listening immediately. I do not want your ears. But just something to make it stand out. Make it like Formula One's Everest, if you like. I think that would be a good idea. Put a big cash prize on it. We all know Formula One drivers are millionaires anyway, but it's, you know, put a million dollar prize from... like Monaco itself, it stumps up. It can fucking afford it. Monaco can afford a million. Or a diamond. There you go. You get like a big fucking diamond encrusted trophy that's worth ridiculous fucking money. that could work. We could do rings like they do with the Super Bowl. You get your Monaco winner's ring. It wouldn't take long before people were fucking after those. That's a good idea. We could even if you didn't make it longer, you could make a big deal of taking the living Monaco winners out and sending them their rings. So, you know, I know it was part of the championship now, but this is the way we're treating Monaco, and it's, you know, it's a thing. Rosberg would have loads of rings, wouldn't he? He'd have loads of them. So, yeah, that's what I would do with Monaco. Probably makes no sense, and you'd probably hate it, but there we go. What am I supposed to do? That's the end of our podcast, guys. Thank you very much for listening. As usual, if you want to support my work as far as any of the podcasts I do, including this podcast, even though it's not on the same thing, Must See Audio is my brand. So that's the Patreon you need to go to if you want to help me make stuff. You can follow me on Twitter, at A Total Shunt. You can follow me on Instagram, at A Total Shunt. If you're on TikTok, which most of you probably are, I'm on TikTok at Must See Audio Clips. I've been doing some funny stuff, or hopefully been doing some funny stuff, and I hope you do some more funny stuff on there. Maybe now, because we're not, our comedy club is shut down on the island, so I haven't been doing stand-up. Maybe I will try and slip some of my stand-up into TikTok videos, because otherwise I will forget about things and I won't be funny anymore. Apart from that, just keep cool. Look forward to Monaco. I'll speak to you next Sunday. And I think we're going to have an interest in Monaco, because the stakes are so high right now. The stakes are so high between Max and Lewis. Who knows what's going to happen? There will be crashes and there will be safety cars. I guarantee it. Bye-bye.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast Network.